Again, like I said, we were starting in the book of Romans today, chapter 1, and I'll begin by reading. Chapter 1, Paul says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey to the by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I proposed to come to you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Whew, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Okay, back to chapter 1. Paul writes this epistle to who? The Romans. Now, tell me what Rome was in that day. It was the capital of the world, more or less, wasn't it? It was the center of the world. It was symbolic of the whole world. And that's what this is teaching. It's all done in symbolism by God. So he's talking to the whole world, not to the Jewish world, okay? Not the religious world, but to the ones who are outside of the realm of the Jewish religious faith, okay? And I don't think it's much different today. I think he's talking to the ones outside of religion, because the religious ones, you can't teach them anything. But Paul, his name meaning small, he was just a small factor, and he realized. And what I really believe it's saying is Paul was humbled. When you're humbled down, you don't see yourself as the big eye, do you? Okay? You're part of that body. He's a servant or a bond slave of Jesus Christ, and he was called or divinely appointed to be an apostle. Okay? An ambassador of the gospel is what it should say. He was called to be that ambassador of the gospel and separated or set apart from others into the gospel of God. So he got pulled out of that religious setting and set aside and set into the preaching of the gospel of God, not the gospel that man teaches. I've heard it referred to as the gospel light, what they preach, because they take the good stuff out and just give you like light bread and light food, the stuff they make. They take the good nutrients out and keep it for themselves and give you the garbage. And that's exactly what religion has done. They've took the good thing, the good news of the gospel of God, they've taken away, haven't they? They took away the reconciliation of all. They don't tell people you got hope. They say you're condemned. You have no hope. You're going to go to hell forever. That's what they want to teach. Now tell me what's good news about that. That's an oxymoron when they say they're preaching the gospel and telling everybody they're going to hell. But that's okay. That's where God's got them. Okay, verse 2, it goes on to say, which he had promised, or literally announced prior, through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Look in Genesis chapter 12, if you will. Let you look at some things here. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, and this is God speaking to Abraham, okay? Or Abram, he hadn't had his name changed yet. So some people say that's before he even got saved, right? okay, I'll let it go. You'll get that later. And he says in verse 3, I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Huh. How many families are going to be blessed? Well, how could your family be blessed if part of your family didn't make it? It'd be hard to feel blessed, wouldn't it? Would for me. And Galatians 3, we'd look at in the New Testament. In Galatians 3, verse 8 and 9. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go eat popcorn. Okay. It says in the 8th verse, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify. Ooh. Would render innocent, the scripture foreseeing that God would render innocent the heathen through faith. Huh. Preached before or ahead of time, announced ahead of time, the gospel to Abraham saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So what Paul did right here when he wrote this, he explained to you what God said back there in Genesis 12:3, that the scripture foreseeing that God would bless everybody. Okay? And that's the part of the gospel that they've taken out. And the best they can call it is gospel light, because they've missed all the good stuff. We can get condemnation from the world. We don't need to go to church and get it. You can get condemned everywhere in the world, can't you?
I don't think I'd call it gospel light, because that sounds happy. It's more gospel hateful to me.
Yeah. It's always the gospel to the church world is almost always negative, isn't it? Okay. Verse 3, we're going back to Romans 1 again. Concerning his son, this word son here is weos. It says the mature son. Okay. The mature son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which, or the one that was made from out of the seed of David according to the flesh. So he was made from the seed of David. His lineage came through the genealogy right on through from David to Jesus. and declared to be the Son of God, with not with power, but in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, through the resurrection from the dead. What really made him the Son of God through with power?
Resurrection.
Through the resurrection. There's been all kinds of people say they got all this stuff, but they never resurrected, did they? Muhammad didn't do it, Buddha didn't do it, and all these other religions didn't do it. But Jesus Christ, the man Jesus, anointed with the Christ, he did it. He did something no one else did. And that marked him different from every other thing in the world. So now, going to verse 5, it should say, through whom we have received grace. We have received grace. What's the word grace mean? The divine influence in the heart of a man and a reflection of that into our lives. So it's saying God affects us through Jesus Christ. Is that correct? He's affecting us by His grace. He divinely influences us, and by doing it inside, it reflects to the external. Does that make sense? What you think inside is what you're going to see outside. You know, we think sometimes we can hide something within, but as a man thinketh in his heart or his mind, so is he. You're not hiding anything. I'm not hiding anything. We are what we are. You know, there's nothing wrong with being who you are. The deception of trying to hide it makes it bad. The deception.
God's changing us on the inside.
That's right. And it starts inside and works its way out. But anyway, through whom we received, and it didn't say we're going to receive it, did it? Isn't that word received got an ED on the end of it? Does that mean past tense? That means you all got grace? Right? Didn't Ephesians say we're saved by grace through faith, and this is a gift of God, lest any man should boast? Okay? See, we've already got it, but we need to start acting on it and realizing we do have this grace of God. God is affecting my life inside, so I'll change on the outside, on the external. And apostleship, we receive grace and apostleship or a commission. If God started working, and we're talking about first fruit people right now. Is that not true? We're talking about the first fruit. We've got a commission for or to obedience. Okay? And this word obedience, it's kind of like the word shama in the Hebrew. It literally means attentive hearkening. For obedience or attentive hearkening to or concerning the faith, okay, among all nations or in all nations for or concerning his anoma, his nature and his character. So what God is doing with His grace is changing our nature and our character into the nature and the character of Christ. Does that make sense? It's not about magic wand, pop them on the head and knock them in the head or something and make them fall on the floor and they're going to jump up and they're perfected. That ain't going to happen. This is something that grace God has put in each one of us, and every man in his own order will react and respond as the Spirit draws that person. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That's the way God works things. It's His plan, it's His purposes, and it all works the way He wants it. It's not up to us, and as soon as we can realize we're in control of absolutely nothing, then we don't have any more struggles. Mm-hmm. The struggle is when we feel like we failed something, or we should be doing something. And I know a lot of people that are very gifted in understanding the Scriptures, but they still think they have to go do something. They got to be busy all the time. You don't got to be busy all the time. You can stop and think. God's not concerned whether you build a house or repair a car engine or do all this external work. How about working inside? And sometimes just sitting down and doing absolutely nothing will slow your mind down to where you can talk to God. I know my wife struggled for years. She says, if I could just stop my head. You know, it's a gift of God to be able to stop your head. It is hard, isn't it? I was in a meeting one time and a man said, everybody just close your eyes and don't think for 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, he said, okay, what were you thinking about? Went around the room, talked to everybody. What did you think about? What were you thinking about? And everybody told him. He came to me and said, what were you thinking about? I said, nothing. He said, you're a liar. He called me a liar. He don't know what's in my head. I wasn't thinking. I was just zoned out. I mean, I was relaxing, having a great time just relaxing. And just because he couldn't, he said I couldn't, and called me a liar in front of all these people, you know. I said, well, you don't know what's in my head. He said, you're a liar. I said, well, you don't know very much. Yeah, that's all I know. All I know is I know what's in my head. You don't know what's in my head. And I know that God gave me the ability I can just stop it. And I'm thankful for it. I mean, I really am. I can just stop it.
Just rest.
Just rest. Because, you know, I read it in the book and it said in the Psalms that God gives His, or in the Proverbs, that God gives His beloved rest. Okay, I'm one of His beloved, then I need my rest. I got to get some rest. So I just go to sleep. I don't worry about it. I think my wife got a hold of that one too. Because she hits the bed, her head doesn't even bounce, and she's already asleep. Okay, verse 6. Among whom or in whom are you also called or appointed or selected by Jesus Christ? See, you're called by Him. See, everybody thinks they can volunteer and they think they get up here and they tell enough sad stories and stroke your emotions enough, they can get you to run to the front of a church and cry and slobber and beg for forgiveness. He didn't ask you to beg for forgiveness, did He? I don't have anything to forgive about it because, you know, He created me the way I was. And if He wants to change, He's going to make the change. And if He wants to make the change, there's nothing I can do to stop it, can I? I mean, if this God that we have, this Father of ours, who created all this by just saying, let there be, do you really think that you could stand up and say, I'm not going to? That's insane to me to even think that thought. But there's people that are insane. You know, so they think that. They're very arrogant. Their ego is still running wild. Huh?
Yep,
spiritually they're asleep. Okay, verse 7. To all that be, or all being in Rome. He's talking to everybody in Rome. What did Rome represent?
The world.
The world. So everybody in the world, he's saying, look guys, you're beloved of God. You're selected, appointed to be saints. Grace to you. Paul's saying, have some grace. How many people want grace?
Everybody.
Well, they say they do, but some of them don't act like it, do they? Paul's saying there, hey, here's grace to you and peace from God. He said, God wants you to have grace and peace. When Jesus left, He said, my peace I leave unto you, didn't He? That place He said, my peace I give unto you. Why don't we act like it? We've got gifts that we're not utilizing. We're not operating in what He asked us to do. And I'm not talking about magical tricks that everybody wants, magic wands. I'm talking about receiving the gift of peace and grace. That's more important than all the rest of it.
Just deep down, people don't think they're worthy of it.
That's the whole thing, because they're buying the gospel light and not the truth. They're buying the lie. That's what it says in Thessalonians. They did not believe or receive the truth, but they believed a lie. Okay? That's the way they do it. He said, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ in your faith. I thank my God through Jesus Christ in you all, because your faith is spoken of throughout or in the whole cosmos, the whole world, concerning it, you know, your faith. People talk about your faith. Well, if you're actually walking in the faith of God, you're not going to be like the average, Bob and Bertha better than you that goes to church. See, that's not what he's talking about. Because you wear a nice suit of clothes every Sunday morning and go to church on Sunday mornings and come around on Wednesdays or Thursdays or whatever other days. And that's not what it's about. It's what do you look like inside? What kind of beauty and grace and peace have you got?
Mm-hmm.
See? If you got it in you, guess what it's going to do? It's going to reflect out. That's the grace of God. He said He's going to affect the inside so it reflects out in you. That's what grace is all about. Verse 9, it goes on and says, because God is my witness, whom I serve not with my spirit, but in my spirit. Your spirit is not a tool that you have or something you play with. It's something in you. And your spirit's in you in the gospel of his Son. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, I know this subject about prayer is touchy, especially with religious folk. I've had people almost cut my head off when I say something about prayer. Prayer is a communication. You don't have to speak an audible word to be praying. I can go back when with Hannah, whose name means grace. When Hannah was praying in the temple, she was not speaking audibly. And Eli, the prophet, saw her and thought she was a drunk in the middle of the day because her mouth was moving and there was no words proceeding out of her mouth. And she was talking to God because it later reveals what she said to God. So guess what? They can take all their ideas they want, but they don't fit in this book. They're man-made ideas, and man-made ones just don't work.
There's their form letters to God. You have to...
Yeah, meet their criteria. Yeah.
Whereas just it's you talking to God.
Yeah, just talk to your father. How would you talk to your dad right now on this earth? How would you talk to him? You'd just walk up and start talking to him, wouldn't you? Or pick up the phone call and start talking to him. And you can start talking to your father, because where is your father? He's in you. You don't have to speak to someone up in heaven, up in the sky somewhere on the other side of the earth or behind the Milky Way. I mean, but that's the mentality that the church has taught our people.
It's also the way you walk around with an attitude.
Sure.
Being in prayer.
Sure. It's being in communication with your father at all times. Well, why can't I communicate with my father at all times? He's right here.
You're open and receptive to anything he has.
Whatever he's got going on, it's fine with me. Because he's the boss. I'm the servant. Verse 10, he says, making request, if by any means or somehow, now at length or at last, I cross out that word might. Huh?
No,
that word might shouldn't be there. I have a prosperous journey. Okay? Or might succeed in reaching you through the will of God to come to you. There's no mights about it. God's not, he's not saying, pray that I might get it, because he didn't might want to go, he wanted to go. So why would he ask you that I might get a go? He then, does he believe what God's power and authority is? And him being the apostle of God, you think he doesn't understand what's going on? But see, these words are might is added by King James.
He didn't say anything about coming and getting saved. He just wanted to send some spiritual encouragement into their life.
That's all it is. He wants to encourage them. Look at verse 11. Because I long to see, or the word actually should say know you. I long to know you. He said, I haven't got over to see you yet in this journey. It's a long way over there, but I want to know you. In order that I, cross out the word may, in order that I impart to you some spiritual gift, okay? To the end that you, cross out the word may be, or cross out the word may, and just say, that into the end that you be what?
Established.
Established, or literally what?
Strong.
Literally it says this, turn resolutely in a certain direction. He said, I'm going to give you information. I want to inspire you to get you to turn in a certain direction, facing God. Okay, following God wherever God goes.
Turn from your ways.
Turn from your ways to his ways. Wouldn't that kind of be repenting? Changing the way you think and thinking as God thinks. Okay? In verse 12, that is that I, cross out the word may again, that is that I be comforted together with you or in you through the mutual or reciprocal faith both of you and me. So he's saying the faith that you have and the faith that I have coming together is going to do what? It's going to comfort us by having the same faith. Okay? It's the faith of God. It's not my faith. It's not your faith. But the just shall live by his faith. And by the faith of God that he's talking about, when we come together, if I have the faith of God and you have the faith of God, when we come together, there's not going to be any conflict. See, we're going to be mutually comforted, consoled, at peace.
Yeah.
We're going to come together in love and with the intent to enlarge our understanding of our Father even greater. That's all it's about, see? But everybody comes up with all these newfangled ideas that has nothing to do with what God's doing.
It won't be a bunch of meaningless disputes.
Yep. Won't be none of that stuff. We don't need it. Verse 13, it says, "Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, because oftentimes I proposed to come to you, but was let." Okay? And that word "let," see, in our language today is a permissive word. I'm going to let the kids go outside and play. Well, this word means it's a hindering word. It's a prevented. He was prevented by the Spirit that he couldn't go. And see, that's where the translators miss things and the language changes. Back then, the word "let" meant stop you. Now it means to let you go. That's why we can't talk in 21st century English and expect to understand what it was back then.
It went from prevent to
permissive.
Permissive.
Yeah. And he says, "But was let hitherto, in order that I," cross out the word "might," "in order that I have some fruit in you also, even as in other," or the rest of the Gentiles. So I want fruit in you just like the rest of the Gentiles. He wants fruit from everywhere. And isn't that God's plan? Paul saw the plan and he knew all I got to do, that in this acorn that I have in my hand, I know he didn't have an acorn over there, but I'm using that as an example. He takes this one seed and he plants it. In that one seed, he didn't have one tree, he had a whole forest. He saw that picture. That through doing the one thing God told him to do, it'll take care of the whole thing. See? This one seed's all it took. It all came from one seed in God, didn't it? And it'll take care of the whole world. In his, but every man in his own order, in God's timing. Verse 14. He said, "I am a debtor," or under obligation, should say, "I'm under obligation both to the Greeks and to the barbarians." Okay? "Both to the wise and the unwise." That means the intelligent or the foolish and the wise. Both of them. I'm under obligation to everybody. So who has he got to be under obligation to?
Everyone. All.
A-L-L. Right. To everybody. That's what we have to understand. That we have to see ourselves as not being superior. We may have more knowledge of God. Does not make us superior to anyone else, does it? It does not make us superior. It just means we know more. We have more freedom and liberty in our lives because of what we know about God. See, they're still living in fear and intimidation about every mistake they make. Mistakes are a gift of God. If you never make a mistake, you'll never change the way you think. I don't care who you are. Until you make the mistake. Do you think King David made any mistakes?
He was human.
He made every mistake conceivable. Why do you think they were all recorded in the book? To show you that God's grace and mercy and forgiveness extends beyond the comprehension of human mind. He did everything wrong. And God said, "There's a man after my own heart." Because quickly said, "Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me." Every time he did something wrong, "Oh God, I screwed up. Don't take your Spirit from me."
And he never had any intention to take it away.
No. But religion told him that. Religion told him that even back then. That God will kill you if you make a mistake. He was an example of us today. King David was you. You know, Saul was you. Jesus was a type of you.
See, the religion is telling you, you do this and God will kill you.
Yeah.
Throw you in hell.
No.
And God's showing you, David, look at David. I didn't do nothing.
No. Look at Adam. He didn't throw him in hell for nothing.
I even said he was the apple of my own heart. You know?
Yeah. He was the apple of my own eye, of my eye, God said.
Yeah.
Okay, verse 15. "So as much as in me," and it should say this, "so the Christ is in me, as much as the Christ is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you, the ones in Rome also. He said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to anybody, even the ones in the world, anybody. Anybody wants to hear it, I got it, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm ready to give it to you. Because I am not ashamed, verse 16, of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it is the power of God to what?
Deliver.
To deliver deliverance to everyone that believes or has faith, okay? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, in Romans 12, verse 3. Is that what I said? I think it's 12:3. Yeah. Yeah. For I say that through grace given to me, I say through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Who has faith?
All.
All. But that doesn't mean we all have the same measure, does it? God gives some more than others, and that's His benefit, see, to His members, not to us. It's His call.
If you use it, He'll refill it.
Well, I don't think you can use out His grace.
Well, I mean, you've got to use something.
Yeah. It can increase, but I don't think you can use it up. Okay, what did I leave off? 16? Verse 17. And therein there is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live through faith, not by faith. Correct? But it's in Habakkuk 2:4. He says that's where that's transliterated from. He spoke it from Habakkuk, Paul did. And it says, the just shall live by his faith. And when it says in this verse, 17, that the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, what would it be? What would be a revealed?
It's done again.
Okay. Wouldn't that be remembering it? You're actually remembering what God gave you from the beginning, but before the foundation of the world. Didn't Job write and say, you were with me before the foundation of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In Ephesians, Paul wrote and said, we were chosen in Him before the conception of the world, before the foundation. Okay? So we have to realize this is something that's already within us. We don't have to work anything up like the church world wants to teach us. What we have to do is understand that God has put everything you need within you, just like the seeds of the world. In His seed, in the seed of God, is contained the whole universe. The whole universe is in the seed of God, and it's within you. It's within us. That's an awesome thought, that it's within us. Everything conceivable is within me. And all I've got to do is let it grow. Cultivate that seed of God. It'll grow, and it'll produce what it's supposed to. It'll produce more God. Because seed will produce like kind. Right? Verse 18. Because the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all. And that word wrath has a real bad kick in it. It's a desire or a passion. For the desire or the passion of God is revealed from heaven over all ungodliness or wickedness and unrighteousness or deeds violating the law and justice of men who hold or holding the truth, which is Christ, in unrighteousness. Okay? So look what he says. It sounds like a real negative, doesn't it? And the church uses this as a negative thing to beat you up, but it's a passion or a desire. And I can't remember if that word is orge or thumos right there. The word wrath. It's in 18, the word wrath. Pull it up and make sure what it is. But orge and thumos are the two Greek for passion, or for wrath, and I forget the other word now. But they're
it's orge.
Orge, okay. Orge means passion, doesn't it?
Excitement.
Yep. Okay. So because the passion of God is revealed from heaven, from the spirit realm, over all ungodliness or wickedness. Now look here. If the passion of God is revealed from heaven over all ungodliness, to me, that's saying that God's passion is going to overtake all this ungodliness. Didn't say he's going to kill people, did it? Didn't say he's going to burn or torment anybody. He said his passion is going to overtake and reveal all of them. It's going to be revealed from the spirit realm. And that's internal, isn't it?
That it's going to reveal over all the ungodliness and unrighteousness and then suppress the truth.
Yep. There you go. But see, it's going to overtake all that in his time.
His truth will always come out.
It's going to win in the end. Just like that book, Rob Bell, Love Wins. You know, come on, it's going to. Just because we don't see it in our lifetime doesn't mean it win, doesn't win, does it? We got to quit thinking them as small little capsules and get out in the bigger world. Okay, verse 19. Because that which may be known, and that's not a good, it should be is, that which is known of God is apparent in them, is made apparent in them, because God has made it apparent to them. Let me read that out of the NAS. Let me read that real quick. I got one right here. Verse 19. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. He told them about it. See, they're responsible for it. God's going to reveal it to them. You don't have to beat anybody up and go out on the street corners and scream and yell at everybody you're going to hell if you don't do what I'm telling you to do. Like a lot of people do around here with megaphones and all that stuff. You don't have to do that stuff. They think they're helping God. God don't need help. He wants your obedience. He didn't say he wanted your help. Okay? Verse 20 goes on and says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. What is made? The only thing made that can understand what God's doing is his creation is us. Human understanding. His eternal power and his Godhead. Now, the word Godhead is not the correct word. It should say divine nature, his eternal power and divine nature. I think it's 1096 is the Strong's number. I can't remember the word now. Genomei. Genomei is the name, the word. Doesn't mean anything at all, Godhead. Not even in the...
Genomei. To come into existence.
Or to being or to generate, yeah. So that they are without excuse. Or to them, or to him, they are indefensible. They can't defend themselves about anything because God said, hey, I've already showed you. I've already showed you. You can't defend yourself to me. So save your voice. You know, don't beat your lips up for no reason. Verse 21 goes on and says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. The word vain here literally means foolish, wicked, and idolatrous in their imaginations. Images in their mind, okay, and their foolish heart, and that's that. That word "foolish" there means wicked, stupid, and unintelligent. I could think of a few that fit in that category. Their foolish, their wicked, stupid, and unintelligent mind was darkened. There's some things in Genesis that I could go back and touch on. And I think I will. In Genesis 1. Verse 1 through 3, and we've done this many times before, so I don't want to belabor it a lot, but it says, in the beginning, or in the Reshith, God, Elohim, created the heaven and earth, or the perfect God-man, and the earth was without form, which is not possible, and void, and darkness or ignorance was on the face or the mind of the many people, the nations, and the Spirit of God moved or brooded upon the face of the waters, the mind of the waters, which is the many peoples, or protected them. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that saw the light and that it was good, and divided the light from the darkness. Now, there's another part in Genesis, I think it's 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's where man's at. The thought process is always wicked. The natural mind. Don't mean that you're a bad person. This means you're not thinking God things. Don't have the capacity yet, do they? So it's not a big thing. Just telling you that's what God says. Okay. Professing, verse 22, to be wise, they became fools. The word literally says in the Greek, simpleton. They became simpletons. They thought so much of themselves being so smart that the flow was cut off and they became simpletons. That's all.
Get the big head.
You got the big head. Shut it down. They stopped that flow through that conduit from God. And they changed or exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image resembling corruptible man to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, you know, man has always made idols to things. They worship, you know, fishes and deer and all kinds of different animals that they have. You know, in Asia, over there in India, places where they worship the cow and chickens and pigs, and they don't hurt any of these animals. They let them, they starve to death and let these animals run free, you know. Yep, kind of like where we're going. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to. What was we seeing on TV last night? A man killed a pygmy goat and he put him in jail for 5 years for killing a little goat. What? There's people kill people and walk free. And he killed a pig. He got messed up on drugs and took this goat from a neighbor. When he was coming home, he saw the goat, picked it up, took it home with him, and somehow he killed it through the night. He was messed up, didn't even know what he did, and they put him in jail for 5 years. See? Animals are being worshipped more than God the Creator. Sick. That's where the world's going. And I think he already said it here a long time ago. Okay, verse 24. Wherefore, or through which God also, through these things, God also gave them up to uncleanness, in the lust of their own minds to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So he says, go let man just corrupt himself. Let him go. Paul said, if they're ignorant, let the ignorant be ignorant, didn't he? In verse 25, it goes on and says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. It's not a lie, it's the lie. See? It's the lie. And you know what the real the first lie in the Bible is? Basically, that's it. In Genesis 3, verse 5, I'll read it to you. For God does know that in the day that you eat, your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. She already was. See, the church saying, if you do these things, you'll be like God. Isn't that what the church is teaching everybody today? If you come to church on Sundays, if you give us your money, if you keep your mouth shut and pay your tithes, and if you dress right and respect the preacher and all his cronies, then guess what? God will accept you. That's what they're telling you. If you take this little wafer and eat it on Sunday morning and drink a little juice with it, God will accept you. If you get baptized in Jesus' name only, you'll get accepted. If you wear your hair in the infinity hairdos, or big long ones, never cut your hair. They don't realize that the Scriptures does not say that. Paul said in Corinthians that we have no such custom about hair being long or short, and neither do the churches of God. So if a church has that custom, they're not God's church, are they?
What's the address for that? Genesis
3:5.
They're wanting to put doo-doo, saying you have to put doo-doo in the temple.
That's what they're doing. They're putting doo-doo in it. They changed the truth into the lie and worshipped and served the creature or the creation more than the Creator, who is blessed into the ages. For this, God gave them up unto vile or disgraceful passions. Okay, for disgraceful passions, because both their women did change the natural use. And that word natural use comes out from the English rendering, comes into sexual intercourse. Did change the sexual intercourse into that which is against not nature, but against reproduction. If we have something against the natural use of man and woman, there's no reproduction, is there? So woman with woman doesn't create children, and man with man doesn't create children. That's against what God set up. And I don't care what anybody says about it. That's what the book says, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not condemning anybody, but that's what the book says. And likewise also men leaving the natural use, and again, the sexual intercourse of the woman, burned in their lust one to another. Men, not with men, but the Greek word is in. What's it mean? I-N. Men in men, working that which is unseemly, or literally indecent acts, is what I should say, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was what? Was necessary. In Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8, you know what it says? God is not mocked. Man will reap what he sows. If he sows to the flesh, he'll reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap the life of the ages. You reap what you sow. Pure and simple. That's the law of the new covenant, isn't it? Just the way it is. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate, and the word reprobate here is worthless, to a worthless mind to do things which are not convenient or not becoming, it should say, not becoming to sons. A son of God won't have that issue, really. Isn't that what it says? Sons of God, and that's not male or female, that's sons of God, that's spiritual sons.
Do I not to do those things which are not convenient?
Well, so the word convenience means becoming to sons. It's doing. It's a behavior that's not becoming to the son, to the true sons of God, the weos sons. Verse 29 goes on and says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, and that maliciousness is wickedness that is not ashamed to break the law. Full of envy or jealousy, murder, debate is quarreling, deceit, malignity, which is bad character, whisperers or secret slanderers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, it means that someone's insulting, proud, boasters, that's arrogant or braggarts, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. Literally, that word without understanding means stupid. They're stupid. They're covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. Implacable means they cannot be persuaded to enter into a covenant. No matter what you do, they're not going to be covenant to anybody, just themselves. They're unmerciful. In Matthew 5 and 7 and James 2 and 13, it says if you don't give mercy, you'll not receive mercy. You've got to be able to give to receive. Who knowing, or literally fully acknowledging the judgment or the decision or statutes of God, that they which commit or habitually commit such things are not worthy but deserving of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that habitually practice them. But now, realize this one thing. The word judgment here, which it says decision, what's everybody think of immediately? Judgment. Some kind of negative condemnation, guilt, punishment, something. But see, there's a root word of this thing, and it goes to the same place. It's regarded as just or innocent is what that word means. See, God's judgment, what did Jesus judge the world on the cross? Forgive. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He said, not guilty. And that's the judgment of God. They know the judgment of God, but they don't care. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. Just because I know God's not going to punish me and throw me in some place called hell doesn't mean I'm going to go out there and go crazy. What it does, it shows me that He loves me to the point I want to respond to what He wants me to do, not what I want to do. Does that make any sense? See, God has drawn me through His love, not through fear.
They're not grateful.
They're not grateful. We just read everything that's in their minds.
Yeah.
And that just closes up the gap on all of it, don't it?
Well, it just shows you that's the fruit of the carnal mind.
That's the fruit of the carnal mind, exactly what it is. That's all the carnal mind can bring forth. Can't do anything else. This book of Romans is a powerful book.
I have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
Verse 20.
Yes?
When you said about the Godhead, but you said the word genomai.
Yeah.
Where did you get that from?
Is it in there?
No.
What is it?
That's why I wanted it. It's theos.
Okay, theos is God, but not Godhead.
Okay.
Okay, we'll correct that. In verse 20, the word Godhead, is that the actual word theos in there?
No, it actually goes back to...
No, the first word, not the root.
It's T-H-E-I-O-T-E-S, from the Divinity.
Well, what number is that?
2305.
Okay. Theotes.
Okay.
From 2304,
which is
theos, which is God, divinity. Okay.
Is that like the verb form or anything like that?
Just a second. The theotes is his divine nature. Okay. And the divine nature. That's what it should say, read from the theos.
Well, I wanted to take
okay, you're right.
To that because I didn't want that.
I misquoted that word.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I wanted you to get that.
I appreciate that. I didn't mean to.
How genomai fit in there?
Yeah, I didn't. Well. It means basically the same thing. I mean, the word Godhead, most all places comes out is the word genomai. It's not this one, but that one's different. That's all. Just throw me a loop there. I missed that one. So we got it straight. Okay? Main thing, we got it straight. Any other questions? If nothing else, I'm done for the day. Done with this teaching anyway. How's that?